In any sort of a co-founder relationship, you have two kinds of co-founders who eventually work out. One is the anxious kind and one is the avoidant kind.
That was Suyesh, the CEO and co-founder of MyScoot, offering sound advice from his personal experiences. And we'll dive into his story in a lot more detail. But before we do that, I wanted to explain why we decided to make this podcast in the first place.
I met Aviral as I was trying to fundraise for my previous startup. And we realized we both enjoy talking about ideas, but more how do you execute on ideas? How do you turn an idea into a functioning business and create a business model around it? So in this podcast, we spend the first 20 minutes interviewing an established founder, learning from them and understanding what worked and what didn't, and just hearing their stories. And then
in the last 10 minutes, we will talk to aspiring entrepreneurs who are working on the first version or MVP of their startup and help them get to that aha moment where they know that this is a business that they want to pursue full time.
If you could deep dive a bit into your background, where you come from, it, you know, colored your experiences
right
into engineering, B-School, as well as, you know, coming up with MyScoot. Talk us a bit through where you've grown up, how that has influenced you till date.
My childhood was spent across a lot of different cities. My father had a transferable job and my early schooling was done across Pondicherry, Pune, Bombay and Hyderabad, where I finally did my 10th and 12th, essentially because I also wanted to crack IIT as my dad was also from IIT. I went through the motions of preparing a lot right from 8th standard, I think, 8th or 9th standard, if I'm not wrong. You know, getting into coaching for getting into coaching to get into an IIT. So that is where my passion for problem solving started. So that happened. I went to IIT Kharagpur, spent 4 years doing everything except academics. That really sort of changed me as a person. I think those 4 years were the first few years that I spent away from home and family and got to experience a lot of different things that I had not experienced before. Met new people, experienced sports, dramatics, and whatnot. And I was a chemical engineer. I decided to join Reliance. After 6 months, I realized this is not what I want to do. And number crunching and analytics was something that I really enjoyed. And I chose to sort of move to Pune and join ZS Associates, where I experienced a little bit of flavor of what consulting is like. And I think this was the point of time when I was sort of thinking of what next I want to do in my life. And thinking like a typical consultant, I had, I think, one of three options that existed for me at that time. And this is back in, I think, 2012-13, where startups in India were not so hot. Otherwise, I would have definitely explored joining a startup. Personally, I bucketed them into three things. One was get into a better consulting firm, do more of this. Number two was do an MBA. And number three was prep for IAS. I chose to do an MBA. I went to IIM Calcutta. And there, as I had decided before, consulting was something that I really enjoyed. I interned at the Boston Consulting Group and decided to take up the full-time offer. The next 2 years were quite amazing. Worked on a lot of different projects. But that, I think, that fundamental problem that I had been facing since I was a child, right, which was moving across different cities, living in different geographies, I really did not have any permanent social circle, people that I could hang out with or grab a bite with on any given weekday or a weekend. And it was this point of time where I felt quite disconnected from the world. I think social media usage was also increasing constantly. I was spending a lot of time online or at work. And this was the point of time when I decided to experiment with this friends of friends idea with my batchmate, Siddharth, who I'd met in IIM Calcutta. Then we gave this a shot. We organized a friends of friends get together in Vasant Kunj in Delhi in our apartment. And the response was amazing. We had almost 15 people show up. I hardly knew 3-4 of the folks who had shown up. And after that particular edition, we saw a lot of folks wanting to do something similar. They wanted us to host more of these. Since we were crunched for bandwidth, we sort of enabled them to host these get-togethers themselves. You know, we created a Facebook page and a simple Google form so that they could circulate it amongst their network and host more of these. And I think after a few editions, the Little Black Book, which is a media outlet here, they gave us a shout out on their Facebook page. we had almost 1,000 signups within a few hours. I think this was the point of time when we decided to think about this side project more seriously and think about this as a business. And once we did a few additions after this shout out, where we had a lot more folks coming in, especially from different backgrounds, you know, because up until then, we had people from our network showing up, consultants, your engineers, and that circle we were part of. But after this, we had a lot of journalists, entrepreneurs, lawyers, professional sports folks. It was quite eye-opening where, you know, we learned so much by interacting with these people. And yeah, and I think that was the point of time when we did a little bit of research, market sizing, more deeper customer interviews, and decided to go full-time into MyScoot.
Super interesting, Suyash. So I think one question that a lot of founders have, especially with backgrounds like yours, mm-hmm. when do you feel like it is the right time to make the leap, right? It seems so risky. You have a great job. Things are going well. You maybe had that aha moment when you had those 1,000 signups, but what really made you make the switch, and what were the feelings that went through when you were making that decision? What was your decision based on?
I think there is no one size fits all answer to this. For me, that, as you said, that aha moment was about those 1,000 signups that had come in, and also the customer interviews that we did, which was, I think, more than 200, 300. But one advice that I probably have is test your idea before taking the leap full time. Subconsciously, we were doing it, but I think it is something that is possible to do consciously as well. It is very easy to build an MVP these days while having your full-time job. It is very easy to distribute your product also these days with very low cost per installs that you get across different marketing platforms. It was not so easy 10 years back, did not have these tools, so to speak, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, and then the ability to distribute your product as much as you have now. So I think if you were really passionate about solving a problem, number one has to be that, right? You have to be very passionate about the problem that you're solving. It cannot be something that comes out of, okay, now I want to start a startup. Now let me think of an idea. I think chances of success are significantly higher if you're really passionate about the idea and you really want to bring that solution out there in the world. So I think that is number one. Number two is, of course, building an MVP, not just jumping right into it, leaving your full-time job, quitting everything and then just starting up. It's very easy to sort of do this side by side. And number three is talking to a lot of people who, let's say, belong to the VC world or ex-founders, having mentors who can guide you and who can help you take the right call if you've done all of this, then you will have that feeling, right? This is taking off. This is something that will scale. And if the people you're connected with, if your mentors, your friends, etc., or someone from the startup ecosystem is also validating that, might probably be the right time to start up.
Understood. So, you know, test out an MVP. It's super easy to do it nowadays. And, you know, if it's working, look at doing it full time. It makes a lot of sense. And I think that, you know, segues into our broader theme. How did you find your co-founders? Did they find you? Did you find them? Was it like a spontaneous, you know, finding of minds? How did you, you know, build your founding team, and, you know, how did you choose your founders, co-founders?
When I had this idea, which was essentially to solve my own problem, I was testing the solution myself with my batchmate, right, who was also quite passionate about this space. Now, it was very natural of me to sort of ask him to be my co-founder here, because both of us were experimenting at the same time. We had built the MVP also together. So Siddharth was naturally someone I went to, and he fortunately agreed, I think, because he also very strongly believed in the idea. It was the two of us who sort of started out. We were still working at that time, and we were fortunate enough to meet Somveer, who came across us, I think, through a common connect. We'd in fact contacted him to help us set up a Facebook page because we had no idea about how social media works at that point of time, right? How to create Facebook groups, how to run a page, what kind of copywriting to do there, what kind of content to post. So Sombir had been helping us with this for, I think, almost 3 or 4 months before we decided to rope him in. So although we did not have a significant relationship with him in the past, we definitely did work together for almost 3-4 months before figuring out that this makes sense. And Akhil, who's the fourth founding team member, is our CTO right now. Since the three of us, me, Siddharth, and Sombi, did not have any technical background, it was kind of important for us to have Akhil on board, and we were actively looking out for someone to lead our tech. If you apply to Y Combinator, I think this is one of their screening questions almost, whether someone who writes code is part of the founding team. Because in your early years, your idea will pivot a significant number of times before you find the right product market fit. And it is very important for you to have someone who's handling the technical sort of backbone for your company and is someone who's invested in working with you from an equity standpoint.
And does your friendship come in the way of running the business? Because it's super stressful. There are many times where you have to make decisions with very limited data. Does the friendship come in way, or does it actually augment how you guys work together because you've, you know, chosen to be with someone you've known for quite some time?
I think for us, it has augmented and it has not come in the way, partly because of our personalities. One of the things that we learned in any sort of a co-founder relationship, you have two kinds of co-founders who eventually work out. One is the anxious kind and one is the avoidant kind. So I fall under the anxious kind, right? I'm always thinking about the next step, always trying to figure out why is this not working? What do we do? And the other personality sort of complements this, right? The avoidant person is more independent, more problem solving on their own, more avoiding conflict. So for us, I think we naturally had these personalities and it was a great fit for us, right? So whenever I was stressed, whenever I was sort of hyper, thinking about the next experiment, trying to do 100 things at the same time. So Siddharth used to sort of step in, calm me down, take a step back, figure out things in a more structured and a streamlined fashion. And whereas if you have two avoidant people, it will never work out, right? Because startups, running a startup is all about hustle, all about doing things that don't scale, all about experimenting and experimenting quickly, right? The speed of iteration is also very critical, which only comes if you're at least slightly anxious. So for us, I think we did have our moments, we did have our fights, but it is about how you manage these relationships that sort of helps you in the long run, and you grow as founders. It's just like any relationship, right? Even you with your significant other will undergo a lot of problems, a lot of stress, but it is about how you manage these that helps you in the long run.
Super interesting. I think the anxious and avoidant framework, I hadn't thought about it that way. And so how do you guys split roles? I mean, it probably has to do with your personality types in some sense, but is everyone doing everything or there's clear demarcation? Because it's a bit difficult, you know, for you to just say, okay, I'm going to do XYZ and someone else will do ABC at the early stages of a company. How do you guys do that?
I think during the early stages of our company, we actually did almost everything, right? When it was just the three of us, I think it was just the three of us for a significant amount of time. And we were naturally trying to do most of the things, helping each other out. But the broad distribution of roles as such was, Sid was handling more of the supply side and I was handling more of the demand side, because that was the only segregation at that point of time, right? Everything else, right? Admin, incorporation of company, hiring an agency for tech until Akhil had come. So all of that we had divided sort of equally amongst us. So most of the things, there was no clear-cut definition of a role up until we went into YC and we started structuring things better. We divided our responsibility in terms of handling operations, handling fundraising, handling marketing and content, which Somveer took up because he's, I think almost 5-6 years younger to us, and he speaks millennial way better than we do. And since our target audience was mostly millennials at that point of time, it makes sense for him to do the marketing and content bit for us. But yeah, I think the evolution for us was me taking up the role of the CEO because I was better at pitching. I had relationships with investors before as well. So I took up that role while also handling product, because product was something that I was really passionate about. And Siddharth took up the role of operations because I think he just has a cool head about himself. He was more organized, more streamlined, more structured at that point of time. He was handling operations for the company. But once we got back from YC and we started hiring, then we had further segregation, more detailed sort of distribution of tasks that we went deeper into. So I think it's an evolution. Early stage, you have to almost do everything. And I'm a firm believer of hiring for roles only when you have experienced that role yourself. So whenever we made any kind of a hire, we sort of made sure that we knew or we had experienced doing that job ourselves, be it even as something as straightforward as performance marketing, right? I mean, we tried to run ads ourselves. I've been in touch with hundreds of hosts. I think I'm still in touch with over WhatsApp groups. So hiring someone for supply, we've had to be on top of that role as well. So that is a little bit about how we went about distributing tasks and going deeper into roles.
Understood. And what are the top three things you would suggest when looking for a founder? And is there an ideal number, or do you think it really depends?
I think it's always better to have a co-founder, because I think founder stress is underrated. I think it is quite significant. A lot of early stage people, or a lot of people who've never been entrepreneurs, don't realize. And having someone who can share that with you is very, very helpful. I mean, I think anywhere between 2 to 4 would be the right number. I think beyond 4 becomes slightly complicated. And in terms of looking for the top three things, it would be 1, your past history with that person, the number of years you've known that person. 2 would be, what value will that person bring to the company? Are your skills complementary? Are your personalities complementary? Probably 3 would be how well you guys can work together, right? I think that is also very important.
Are there any situations where you have to make a decision that is against consensus amongst the 4 founders? It could be anyone. It could be you. It could be Som. Anybody. How do you take a call? What is a decision-making framework? If you have anything like that, resolving conflict in a more structured way.
For us, although we did not have any framework in the beginning, but we've evolved into just having a vote on everything and arguing a lot. And more often than not, I think 95% of the times we are all aligned when we come out of a conflict resolution meeting, because we as a team, we argue a lot. We are very open about our feelings, our points of views, right? And everyone very vocally puts them across, and the other person sort of addresses them. Logical argument is what drives most of the decisions in our company, at least.
How much of your time approximately do you spend on recruiting, product, and then investor management and other stuff? And how does recruiting work between the founders? How do you guys split that up?
So I think your first question, in terms of the percentage of time that I spend on hiring, investigations, etc., has been a journey again for us. It has been different at different points of time in the last 1.5 years. Almost, I would say 100% of my time was spent in hiring an investor relations back in June, July, August of last year when we had just come back from YC. We had fundraised and now we were looking to build a solid core team. And also fundraising was a full-time job for me. So when we were at YC, we had a demo day in March. And I think almost all of March, April, and to a large extent May was spent fundraising, closing out term sheets, figuring out a lot of things related to this, especially because we had a different entity in the US. And then when once we got back, you know, setting up our office, starting to build an org was taking up almost 80% of my time. But after hiring was done, I think I scaled down my time there, although you have to continually keep looking out for right folks. I started spending more time on product, more time on growth, experiments, and setting the right culture in the team. So now it is hardly, I think hiring would probably be 20-30% of my time. Investor relations would probably take up another 20-30%. So I think 40% of my time would be spent here. The rest of it is spent on product, growth, experiments that truly make a difference.
Understood. Any advice for first-time founders like yourself, most specifically in terms of your founding team and the importance of choosing the team members in the right way?
I think team is essentially make or break. I mean, that is true for most startups. If your team is not what you want it to be, then it will be very difficult and you will set yourself back a lot, many number of months. The only advice that I'll probably have will be to look for the right attitude instead of the perfect skill in a person or an expertise. And this is especially true for early stage startups where our hiring philosophy was to look for generalists who can do a lot of different things, but have been gravitating towards one. Because you will pivot a lot, you will do a lot of different things. Everyone will be scrambling. Everyone will have to do everything. So having generalists who are problem solvers initially in your core team is essential. That has been our hiring philosophy. Second, I think advice would be to hire fast. I know it's contradictory, but hire fast, figure out whether that person is working out or not. And before you decide to offer a full-time hire, we always try to work with that person on a live project.
So that's it from Suyesh. Hope you guys enjoyed that. I thought there was a lot of great advice and a lot of cool things you could take away. One thing in particular that I really enjoyed with the MySchool story was how they created the MVP without writing a single line of code and how they were able to test the idea thoroughly and were really sure about it before they took the leap and quit their day jobs to do their startup full time. Reflecting on my own startup experience, I think it's one of the things that could have done a lot better job of. We could have tested more before we built. It doesn't make sense to protect your idea or try and keep them secret. As Suyesh said, you want to test your idea early and as often as possible with as many people as you can. And I really see this segment of this podcast as a sort of platform for aspiring entrepreneurs to share their ideas, hopefully get some feedback from us, and also, more importantly, to be able to test their product with our listeners.
You can submit your startup ideas using the Google form in the description below that asks you to submit a 1-minute audio clip with a description of your idea and your plan for the MVP. In this 1-minute audio clip, you want to describe your idea as simply as you possibly can and then talk about how you're going to test it.
And that's what an MVP really is. An MVP, as you guys know, stands for minimum viable product. But what it means is you're kind of finding the bare minimum that you need to be able to test your idea and get immediate feedback from people. And typically,
an MVP can be created within
a week or two. It shouldn't take you longer than that. And what you're trying to do is focus on one pain point or one need or one specific problem that you're solving for your users. Build that out however you do it. In MySchool's case, they did it using a Facebook page and Google Forms. So anybody can build an MVP and can do it pretty quickly and then use that to get feedback. As Suresh mentioned during the interview, there are so many tools out there that can help you quickly build your MVP, whatever it is, and not only just build the first version, but also distribute it really quickly. One example is this podcast itself. I mean, this is our first version. We have no experience creating podcasts, and we decided to put this together. I used Zoom, a video conferencing software, to record the interview. I used a software called Audacity to edit all the audio and get this podcast ready. And I used Anchor.fm to actually host the podcast and distribute it across podcast platforms. So
we were able to create this podcast in a week for free using those tools that I mentioned. And in fact, for your own recordings for this MVP, I would strongly recommend using Audacity. It's a really cool, completely free tool. We strongly believe that anybody can be an entrepreneur, especially these days, and that a startup is not a smaller version of a large company. A startup is a temporary organization that is in search of a scalable, repeatable, and profitable business model. And the way that you find this is by testing over and over again, learning from your users, and building something that turns into a company in the future. So since this is our MVP, you can also leave us feedback. You will find in the description below the two links, one for the Google form where you can submit your MVP ideas, and another link where you can give us feedback on our podcast, whatever it is, the content, the format of the show, what else you'd like to see, what you liked, what you didn't like. Let us know. This is your show. We want to make it as meaningful and useful for you as it can be. So that's it from me. Thank you for your time, and look forward to talking to you soon.